Hello and a warm welcome to another season of the Blue Team Podcast. We are back again for a fourth campaign, where once again we'll be analysing everything on and off the field at Balmoor. It's been a busy summer at Peterhead, and in this episode we'll try and cover as much of what has happened over the summer as much as possible. We'll be looking back on Saturday's league opener against Airdrie, as well as this weekend's trip to Clyde. I'm Colin Byers, and back with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Good summer?
Yeah, very enjoyable. But we are not having the weekly podcast, so they've been able to contribute much this season to the player interviews, but I heard a lot of them. You and the guys did really well over the summer, so obviously I was at a listener this time, so it was good to hear it for that point of view as well, so thank you for the player interviews.
No, I was going to say that's a good starting point, actually, because I want to just thank everybody again for coming on. I know it's a little bit different this summer compared to last summer, where obviously we were still in a lockdown, so for these guys to give up their time to come on for an hour and a half or 2 hours of an evening when they could be doing something else was really good. So it was a good mix of former Peterhead players and some of the current squad, and as it turned out, some of the current squad are now former Peterhead players as well. So it was a good, as I said, it was a good mix, and I think, as I said, everybody seemed to enjoy it. And the feedback we got from them as well was pretty positive.
Yeah, it's interesting. Always start off quite nervous, quite quiet, and then as the interview goes on, you can see them growing. I think everybody that you did over the summer was exactly the same boat. Start off pretty quiet, and then the further they go in, it seems like they really enjoyed it. No, it was good to listen to them all in the summer. Really enjoyed it.
I don't know if it means how sad a social life or lack of social life I've got, that I could do so many, and these guys were coming on. But hey, well, that's what happens. Right. So, well, as I said, we've got plenty to kind of cover. It's been a while since we've been on, so hopefully this goes well. We will start. I think we'll start with the transfers in and out that we've had so far. And I say so far, obviously the window is still open. Word is that there's got to be another three or four possibly coming in before the end of the month, but we'll wait and see with that. We'll look at the players that have gone out. 18 in total have gone out. That's obviously including some of the loans. We spoke at the end of last season about, you know, trying to keep the core of the squad from last season that did so well at the end of last season. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. A lot of the guys that have gone, we already knew that were going. Some we suspect they might be going. But one or two recently have maybe come out of the blue.
Yeah, I think the last episode we had of the regular season, we're quite confident if we could keep the players that we had and adding a little bit of quality throughout, a bit of depth, that we'd be in for a good campaign. As you said, 18 players have left for one reason or another. And I think it's left us in a difficult situation. That's not the players' fault. They've got to look after themselves. Obviously, many difficult conversations have been had between the players, the club and Jim. But I think we're in a really tricky position at the moment.
Yeah, some of the players that have gone out, like Scott Brown, Ryan Conroy, Alan Cook, Connor Cullen, Gary Fraser, Darren Kesson, Brett Long, Jadel Mashanu, Rico Kotongo, Grant Savory, Lenny Wilson, they've all gone. Simon Ferry and Derek Lyle, obviously we knew they were retiring, and obviously the loan guys is going back to their parent clubs as well. That is, obviously we knew some of them, as I said, like Ryan Conroy, Alan Cook were going to be leaving, but like Scott Brown, I think we knew maybe that there was someone in the pipeline for him, but you're obviously just still gripping onto the fact that he might stay. But certainly the likes of Brett Long, Rico Kotongo and certainly Grant Savory just before the season started were ones that were quite a big blow to us, because I think they would have been key members of this squad this season.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that was probably the three bigger ones, I would say. Obviously, every player leaving, they've got their reasons. I think Brett was a terrific goalkeeper. I think we said many a times he could play at a higher level. It's just surprising that he's gone down the divisions. Obviously, personal circumstances and everything you take into consideration. But I think the fact that we've lost so many players, it's made Jim's job trying to get the recruitment side really, really difficult. But that's the risk that you run when you let players only have 1 year contracts. I came when they you know, that well off that you can offer players 2-year deals. But then, I mean, we spoke last year, maybe the change in the way they do their transfers, it was younger players coming through and how they were doing it. They maybe need to look at the structure and think, well, is 18-month contracts maybe better? Is 2-year deals for players that you want to keep, you know, a better option? And to be in a position where you've lost so many players, obviously it leaves us in the situation that we are now.
And another one I want to mention as well is Lenny Wilson. He was obviously a backup keeper for 3 years. And we just felt that there was a decent goalkeeper there, and maybe he felt he wasn't going to get the opportunities again this season. However, to see Connor leaving quite early on in, when the window was open up again, to then see Brett leaving, then Lenny leaving, I think Lenny obviously felt that after 3 years of being a backup, he needed to be the number one elsewhere.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. Like you said, he's been there for 3 years and he's always been a backup. It was probably a right kick to him that Brett came in last summer and took the number one jersey. I know they played 2 games each in the cup competitions. But Brett got the nod. But I would be surprised if Jim knew that all three was going. I'd be surprised if at one point he knew that all three were going, he would have allowed one of them to leave. I think we spoke before, I don't think Connor Cullen would have been allowed to. But they'd have tried to keep him, had the new Brett and Lenny wanted to leave. And I think there's quite a few things. I know Lenny went to America and he had a couple of weeks to mull things over, and then he came back and decided that he wanted to move on. You know, that's his prerogative. He's entitled to do that. But it's disappointing from our point of view that we're left in that situation for one reason or another.
Yeah, so far we've got 18 have come in. Ola Adeyemo, Paul Dixon, Ryan Dow, Robbie McGill, Cody McLeod, Conor O'Keefe, Jamie Redmond come back, Craig Simpson, Danny Strachan. His loan was made permanent. Danny Ryan Strachan as well. He's another one that's returned. Sandy Wood, Max Gillis, and Jack Newman are the two lone ones. So again, it's I wouldn't say there's anybody there that you would say we're really pleased that we've got them. Obviously, Paul Dixon comes with vast amount of experience, but is at the wrong end of 34, 35 now. Ryan Dow obviously comes back as well, but maybe isn't the player he was 2 or 3 years ago. What have you made of the players that have come in so far and the recruitment that we've had at this stage?
Look, it's difficult. When you lose so many players to try and recruit that amount of players coming in, we all know that there's money in the lower leagues with certain teams. It's maybe difficult to try and get players to come up to beat your head. On the flip side, I think re-signing some of the players is potentially too easy an option to re-sign players that he knows that can do a job. You mentioned the age thing there as well. I'm offering experience in the team, but in your centre-half alongside a 34, it gives you a little bit of a concern. Do I think recruitment's been good? Hey, time will tell, but as we record this, we've played 5 competitive games and we haven't scored a goal. Now, obviously, Paul Dixon's job's need to score goals. I get that. But I just think, as we record this, I think the team is weaker now than what we were last season. And I think the division itself has gotten better, whereas I think we've regressed.
Yeah, the league itself has gotten stronger, whereas we've gotten a little bit weaker in terms of the depth of squad. I know, obviously, a lot will be made of the fact that Hamish Ritchie's injury and Andy McCarthy's injuries. Jason was suspended for 3 of the games in the League Cup, but we shouldn't really be relying on 4 or 5 players to make a team. You know, I think last season, if one person dropped out of the squad or the starting 11, you knew somebody else coming in would be maybe not as good, but certainly a better kind of option, and you can maybe rotate some of the players.
I think the players we had last season, as you said, a player dropped out, you had that quality to come in. And I don't know what it's the first episode, but I don't want to berate the team and whatnot. But at the moment that we're seeing, I think Jim would probably mention it as well. I don't think he's got that quality in depth. You know, he said he's looking still to get another 2 or 3 in. Again, as you said, we've got Andy to come back from injury. Jason Brown was out, Andy McDonald in the play. There's some playing still out. So there is quality to come back, but I just think the depth overall in the squad It does seem a little poorer at the moment, but you're still hopeful that that's just a bedding in period. It's not going to happen overnight. So you're hoping things, you know, turn around pretty quick. But we have had five competitive games and they scored a goal. That would be my biggest worry.
Yeah, Jack Brown, Jason Brown, David Wilson, Hamish Ritchie and Russell McLean were already signed up for the new season anyway. So Jordan Brown, Andy McCarthy and Andy McDonald were ones who signed on again. And I think, I don't know about you, but when I seen Andy McCarthy and Andy McDonald had re-signed as well, I was thinking, Christ, somebody's staying on, because for a long period of time, I thought some of those players were all disappearing, and it was good to see McCarthy and McDonald, two players who, again, played big parts in last season, and McCarthy in particular was one who I think it was worth player of the season as well. So good to get those kind of guys signed up as well.
Yeah, and I think it would have been quite easy for them to turn around and say to Jim, look, there's been so many changes, they want to try something new or they want a different challenge. So credit to them for staying. And like you, I think Andy McCarthy was our best player last season. And he's probably one of them players that you wouldn't grudge him a chance of playing higher up if you got that opportunity. Delighted that he's staying with us. Mm-hmm. Just unfortunate that he's got this injury now. He's been out for a couple of weeks. Hopefully he's back soon. But yeah, he's a big loss at the moment.
We're quite heavy on defenders. I think we've got about nine in the squad. Does that tell you something? I think we spoke about it on Saturday at the game, the fact that maybe that's a formation he's thinking about playing, maybe going back to that back three or back five as he was doing last season, which seemed to be quite successful. Or is it a case that he's maybe just not overly confident in the ones that he's got and he's just trying to cover as many positions as he can?
I think he's trying to cover all bases. I think nine's a pretty excessive amount of defenders to have, unless we're going with a back seven and trying to concede. I think it's a forward area of the pitch. I think I like Jack in goals. I think he's come in, he did really well against Aberdeen, so a couple of good saves. I think your back line with Jason Brown, Paul Dixon, you've got Andy McDonald, Danny Strachan. I think, you know, Ryan Strachan as well. I think you've got the nucleus of a good defence. It's just further forward in the park. I think we lack that creativity. Obviously we've proven the last five games we're struggling to score goals.
And you mentioned goals. Obviously our top goals are last season, Russell McLean. Bizarrely transfer listed at the end of the campaign. Still a year left on his contract. We didn't really know too much about as to why he was transfer listed. Obviously, no offers have come in for him, or the finances hasn't been right. But then we've given him an operation as well, which was something that he was needing last season as well. So he's now got to be out for about another 6 weeks. What's your thoughts on that kind of situation overall? Because it seems to be a bit of a weird one. We transfer list him, but we're going to give him an operation as well.
Yeah, it's weird, firstly, that he's transfer listed. As you said, we dick in the ins and outs. And I'm also surprised that they're, you know, letting the operation go ahead, you know, and they're paying for it, because we got burnt with the Gary Fraser situation. Obviously, he left in the summer. And I think it didn't go doing too well with certain people within the club and outside the club that they'd gotten everything done and whatnot. So I'm surprised that Russell McLean, you know, they've gone ahead and paid for the operation to get him sorted. But I would like to think that maybe sort of suggests that Russell will be here next season. vast amount of goals we got for him last season, and we're desperately in need of a striker that's going to score goals. He's not Abdi's cup of tea, I'll be the first to admit that. I've got my reservations on him. But if he's going to score you 15 goals again this season, he'd bite your hand off.
It's certainly going to get more goals than it seems to be at the moment. What have you made of the ones that have come in then so far? You mentioned Jack, obviously. We spoke about him on Saturday, and you used the phrase there's a bit of the Brett Longs about him, in terms of, like, he could be the one that, you know, we might lose a game 3-0, but because of him, it could have been a lot more. So there is that element to him. What have you made about the other ones so far?
I think there's a Brett Long-esque about Jack and goals. I think he's a good goalkeeper, a good shot stopper. Exactly what Brett was. The defenders have been okay. Again, you mentioned it, nothing really stands out. although conceding six at Raith, you know, is far from the ideal. The forward areas of the pitch, I think you're looking for a lot more. I think all up front, he shows at times that he's willing to do it, but I just get the feeling if the ball's not exactly to his area, then he's really not interested. He had a one-on-one on Saturday. Yeah, brilliant that he's gotten into that position. He's been doing the wing, he's come inside, but he's one-on-one, he's not hit the target. You know, make the keeper... if your striker's taking a shot and the keeper saves it, you put your hands up, but he's not even hit the target. And it's that lot of frustration. Akinyi hasn't played much football. These are the things that you're hoping come good in time. But, you know, you don't know what... I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I felt it was a mini-league at the bottom three with FC Edinburgh and Clyde from ourselves. And then Clyde and FC Edinburgh won away from home on the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things like that. You think, you don't know what to give yourself a gap. The recruitment-wise, defence, okay. The rest of it, I think we're still looking for a lot of improvement.
And it's a case of using a phrase that you like to use quite a lot, is round holes and square pegs and things like that. At the minute, we're still trying to find where people can play. I mean, Danny Strachan playing at left back for the last two or three games, obviously, is naturally a right back. We've already got, we'd already had him signed up. We had Max Gillis come in as well. He's another right back. Robbie McGill is a right back. So we've got plenty on that side, but no natural left back. We know Andy McDonald, it was there at the end of last season. Ryan Dow's probably playing in a position that it's not his best one, in terms of he's playing in centre midfield rather than up in the forward line. So again, we're still at the minute trying to find, I guess, our best 11.
Yeah, it staggers me a little bit that we knew which league we were going to be playing in May, and here we are in August, and we still don't came our best team. We still don't came the recruitment side's not finished, and also there was a couple of players that left the gym hadn't envisaged leaving. But you know, I think when you allow a player potentially up to 5 weeks to decide where their future lies and decide to it lies elsewhere, it puts you on the back burner. A lot of teams have done their work before we'd even re-sign a couple of our players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's difficult, as I said right at the start of the programme. I think there is teams down south that have now got a little bit of money, and if you've got a player from the Glasgow area, the Edinburgh area, their name maybe is willing to travel as far north now to Peterhead as what they maybe once were. You know, and I think the board and the manager could maybe have been a wee bit more proactive. You know, I know we'll hear the, you know, every team's in the same boat. But I would probably disagree with you, to be honest. A lot of teams were signing good quality players and we were sort of left lounging. And I think that's why perhaps the quality of player that we've gotten in is, some people's eyes, maybe a wee bit less quality than what we had.
Yeah, we mentioned the fact that the League Cup games, and we'll come on to them, but we maybe had two on the bench or three on the bench. And folk were saying, well, we're lacking players, but the season hasn't started yet. Well, the season has started, because that is the start of your season. The Aberdeen game was at the start of the season, and as you said, a lot of the teams around about us had recruited. I know they're still probably going to try and sign one or two more, but essentially, as you're looking at that first game, the Aberdeen game was the first game of the season, and we really didn't have a full squad in place.
We didn't have a goalkeeper until the Friday night.
Well, exactly. That was the worry. We didn't have. Lucky we had an 11 to even start the game. Was the concern by the sort of Wednesday, Thursday, and in fact, there's a couple of folk have mentioned it and mentioned it to me at the games. The fact that it's a manager's job to get that squad in place. It's up to him to get a team to play these games, and as we said, by the Wednesday, Thursday, we were nowhere near getting a team together.
Yeah, and it's caused a lot of controversy. You know, the manager's job is to have a team ready. Whether you perceive that to just be an 11-man team or whether you expect it to be the players on the bench as well. Like I said, I think the manager's job is to get a team ready. And I think we're ready in terms of numbers. Than what we were against Aberdeen. But, I mean, Raith, one player on the bench, and it was a goalkeeper. That, to me, is not a team that's ready. And then the week, the game after that, Dumbarton at home, we had Sandy Wood on the bench, and
Ryan Strachan's on the bench, and those two were going to play.
Yeah, exactly, and we couldn't even the two of them were going to play. So to me, the manager didn't have a team ready, and that is his purpose, to get the team ready. And we knew what league would be in May, and I can almost understand if we'd have a playoff and then the divisions weren't quite settled till the end of May, but no, to me, it's a manager's job to make sure a team is ready. And at the moment, yeah, we've got numbers just about, but I think we're in for a long season.
Yeah, I think that's the theme that's coming through on social media already. One last transfer, I guess you could say, was announced a couple of weeks ago. Martin Johnson, the general manager, has left after 6 years. He's now joining FC Edinburgh, and another one, I guess, it came out of the blue. Wasn't really expecting that. I think he was he seemed to be part and parcel of the furniture within the club, and he'll be a big miss within the club as well.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of time for Martin, everything he's done, just for us, but he was almost like the glue. What he didn't know regarding the club wasn't worth caning. He knew what was happening in and out, and just speaking to him over the last couple of weeks, you could just sense something wasn't quite right. He's taken up a new challenge away to FC Edinburgh. I wish him all the best. I think there's been a lot of changes on the pitch, and also we're seeing just a couple of changes behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, and it'll be hard to replace, because I think, again, we spoke about it on Saturday, as you said there, what he doesn't know about the game isn't worth knowing, and he knows things that maybe other people wouldn't know in terms of rules and regulations, how to sign players and things like that. So that'll be something that it will be interesting to see, and who or if anybody can actually replace him will be in for a difficult job.
Yeah, I think the fact that Martin's got a refereeing background behind him as well, he'd have been well versed in the rules beforehand, and any slight tweaks and changes would have come really natural to him to remember. So yeah, anybody taking up Martin's role, whoever it is going to be dealt with in the club, they're going to have their hands full, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we wish him well, and we'll possibly see him again when he's up doing his job for FC Edinburgh.
Does that mean that Martin can now buy us a round in the bar? He's in a working capacity.
He'll be in a working capacity, exactly. That'll be his excuse. He'll be driving home, that's what it'll be. But as I said, we wish him well, as you said as well. Echo what you said, he's done a lot for us, especially in the early stages. We don't really have a bad word to say about him. And, as I said, we wish him well, and wish him well in his success in his new role. Whoever comes in, as I said, we'll hopefully be working with them as well. So on to matters, I guess, on the field now. We really need to speak about the stuff on the field. We'll start with the League Cup. We'll briefly go through that. Four games, as we said earlier on, four games, four defeats, no goals. I guess it was a draw that I don't think we were really expecting too much in it. I think if you looked at the Aberdeen game and the Raith game prior to the games actually happening, you thought, well, we're probably going to take anything out of them. But you look at Dumbarton and the Stirling Albion games, you think, well, that's the two games that we could probably do something there. But in the end, it was, as we mentioned earlier on already, lack of numbers, lack of bodies in, and it fairly showed.
Yeah, I think at times the Premier Cup competition is almost like glorified friendlies, and I get that. But it gives you an indication of where you're at. You played Dumbarton, who, okay, we had good results against them last season, but we struggled in the vast majority of games against them, and were fortunate on a couple of occasions. And obviously Stirling Albion, division below, struggled against them last season as well, start of the season. So just give you an indication of where we were at. As you said, lack of numbers. It really didn't help. But yeah, disappointing campaign. I think fans will understand if you're not that best prepared, but you're putting in a good show. You've maybe scored a couple of goals, but we've really had nothing. And out of the four games, off the top of your head, you're really struggling to find clear-cut chances that we've had. Then you think, oh, we should have done better there. So, like I said, 10 minutes ago, I think the recruitment and the forward areas at the moment leaves a little bit to be desired. And you're hoping these guys come through in, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you mentioned the shots there. In the four games combined, we had 5 shots on target in the entirety of the four games. 3 of those was against Aberdeen in the opening game. And again, that was a game where it's the first game this season. Aberdeen going through a transitional period, I guess, as well in terms of their recruitment. So it was probably a game that some of the Aberdeen fans were probably by the Wednesday again Thursday thinking, well, then they got a goalkeeper, we could absolutely smash it. But it was the first game for the season for them under a new manager. So it was maybe not going to be as one sided as what we some people were anticipating. But I think for large points of that game, it was, certainly Aberdeen didn't get out of second gear.
No.
And the fact that we got the 3 shots were probably early on in the game.
There's a few guys at work the following days this month. You know, Pierre must have done well. It was only 2-0. Yeah, we did well to keep the score down, but, you know, we didn't really hit anything. Okay, with 3 shots on target, keeper's not really that bothered. But other than that, we didn't really do anything. We sat back quite a lot. It was quite a warm day as well, which probably suited the Aberdeen players being the full-time lads. But no, we didn't do enough in that game. It sort of just set the pattern for the cup competition, to be honest.
In the penalty, it was the opening goal. So really, it was once they scored that, I think there was only going to be really one winner there.
Yeah, I think the longer the game went at 0-0 and Aberdeen weren't really doing anything, you fancied you might be able to nick something. Even a point would have been really good. But once they got the penalty, there was only going to be one winner, really, was there?
No shots against Raith, 6-0 away from home on the Wednesday after. I think it was 6, maybe going on 7 or 8 that game. Unfortunately, that was a game that I think Jack Newman was away and Sandy Wood was in goal. So maybe that's the kind of difference in terms of the quality. They're saying that we would have won the game or certainly changed the result. But if you look at maybe a couple of the goals, certainly I think Jack might have been better placed, shall we say, for those ones.
It was interesting, Jim's comments after the game on that one. He said he was actually quite happy with 6 because it could have been 8 or 9. Now, I'm not sure whether I agree with the honesty as such that you would come out in the media and say, I'm happy with 6-0. I'm not sure how you'd feel if you were a paying punter that travelled down for PRE to go to Raith on a Wednesday night and you got beat 6-0 and your manager saying, I'm quite happy with that. Maybe something you'd say in the dressing room. But again, I think that just shows where we're at. You know, you get beat 6-0 and your manager's happy with it. That, to me, also sets a tone. A manager should never have been getting beat, but the fact that he shipped 6 goals away from home, I didn't set too well on that, to be honest.
He said that a couple of times last season as well, when we got beat heavily away from home. I think one particular was at Cove, where he was happy that it was 3, because it could have been easily been 6 or 7 that day as well, which, as you said, it doesn't set a very good tone in terms of, oh, well, I'm happy it was only 3-0. I was happy it was only 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a player, you maybe think, well, as long as we keep it respectable, the gaffer's going to be happy. To me, again, this is just an outsider's point of view. I don't like your team manager coming out and saying, yeah, I'm quite happy with that. There's going to be some games you look at and you go, we've got away with one there. But I think when you lose, you mentioned the Cove one, I think it was 3 going on 5 or 6, the Raith one with 6 going on 7 or 8. It just isn't sit comfortable with a manager coming out and saying, I'm quite happy with that. And I think that's more of an indication on where he's at with the personnel rather than the team. And I go back to the manager should have the team ready. If you're getting beat 6-0 and you're happy and content with it, I think that also tells you something as well.
Yeah, then we had the Barton games and the Stirling game, 2-0 and 3-0. So overall, it was 4 losses out of the 4 games, no goals scored, 13 against. Not the ideal preparation for your league campaign, in a campaign which a lot of people are writing us off already.
Well, the only positive to say is a lot of people wrote us off last season. And we had 6 games towards the back end of the season that we pulled out. But you'll maybe kind of figure better than I do, but it'd be interesting to see Jim's record in 2022, the calendar year. Because also we were really poor January to March with a bit of a purple patch and then it tailed off again. And then we've started this campaign well. Now, there is growing unrest. I think it was a little bit of murmurs last season about the manager's position. And then you've got this campaign as well. I think overall in 2022 it hasn't been good enough. There's been numerous changes. But again, the manager sets the tone and go back to like, you get beat 6-0 and he says he's quite happy and content. There is murmurings now that, you know, we should be doing better. And as I said, the league's gotten, in my opinion, stronger. You've got Burnley and Queens, you've also got Kelly coming up, Edinburgh as well. So I think we're in for a tough season. I can see why, you know, bookmakers and pundits have written us off.
You mentioned last season, a lot of people were writing us off, and we were quite happy to, you know, bookmark those kind of tweets because we were quite confident in staying up. I think that's the difference. I think where we're at this time last season to this time now, it's a marked difference. Whereas we're quite confident that things would be fine. Would be probably, if we got a good run, would stay up. We had the quality of players there, but I think this time round it's slightly different.
Look, we're in for a tricky campaign. I would love to be stood here in May and say, yeah, hands up, we're wrong, we pulled out of the bag, the team got together. But I'm basing this on what we've seen in the five games of this season. You mentioned it, 13 conceded, no goals, five shots in five games. We're in for a long season, but you're just hoping the players pull out of the bag, that they come together. Scott Brown did it a couple of times last season where things weren't going quite well, they came together as a group. But you've lost a lot of big characters in that dressing room over the summer. That can be underestimated as well. Scott Brown maybe wasn't a shouter on the pitch, but he knew what he was doing. He was a captain. Simon Ferry's voice, he was heard up booming for the dugouts. Got to be honest, I haven't heard much of anything coming for the dugouts for the last couple of weeks. You mentioned it on Saturday. You know, players' communication. You heard everything for Airdrie. And it wasn't until Ryan Strachan came on that then we heard a voice on the pitch. So yeah, it's these little things that make the difference.
So the league opener on Saturday against Airdrie, 2-0 it was in the end. And again, you could maybe look at it and say, well, that's 2-0 probably maybe flattered us a little bit without being overly critical. But what was your overall take on it?
As you said, I think 2-0 sort of flattered us a wee bit. I think it could have been a lot worse. I think it's, you know, particularly the second goal, the corner, the lads and even jumped and he's managed to put it in at the back of the net. A couple of folks said the second half performance was better. Yeah, maybe, but again, if that's a standard that we're happy with. And one of my bugbears, and I think you agree as well, we're 2-0 down, we're playing poor, we applaud the team off at half-time. Again, the manager sets the tone, but I think fans as well, you're 2-0 down at half time and you had the league opening game, you hadn't done much, and you hadn't done much previous four, and you're applauding the team off the pitch. Again, it's a lot of things that make the difference. You're applauding it, the players are thinking, oh, we're quite happy just at 2-0 down. You know, it sounds like I'm just berating them, and maybe are, but this is the standards you're at. Because at this time next season, I generally think we could be in League Two if we didn't, you know, get our finger out.
Max Gillis made his debut, and then there was a trialist, Robbie Scullion, I think is how it's pronounced, played in midfield. We didn't seem to make too much of them, but I think Robbie seemed to do okay. I think maybe it took him a little while to get into the game, being a young man, but I think he certainly didn't let himself down, let's put it that way.
No, and I think there's a player there, actually. Little lad, but he put himself about. You know, I was thinking for the last played a competitive game or fit situation is, but based on what we've seen on Saturday, yeah, as you said, maybe 10, 15 minutes, struggled to find his feet to start with. But then after that, I thought he did okay. Nothing brilliant, but then at the same time, nothing that would harm his chances of potentially getting a contract if that was the case, if that was on the table. So, yeah, little lad, but I certainly think he offered a little bit, to be fair.
The opening 10 minutes, as you mentioned earlier, with the goal. Prior to that, Craig Watson had a header which went by the post. Conor O'Keefe at the other end had a half volley after Ryan Dow had found him with a header. Maybe just, I don't know if he snatched at it, but it was certainly an easy one for the keeper to save. It was straight at him. So it was quite even, I think, maybe that first sort of 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, first 10-15 minutes was even. Not much in the way of goal attempts, but as you said, the half volley, if it's either side the keeper, just a couple of yards, you know, you've got a good chance of going in. It's just unfortunate, you know, doing the keeper's neck.
And then a couple of minutes later, Airdrie's then hit the bar for the first time, because they do it twice in the first half. Delaney's hitting the bar. And then I think within, 30 seconds, Newman's pulled off a brilliant save. I mean, it could be early stages of the season, but it could be up there for one of the saves of the season already. And harping back to what we were saying earlier on, being a shortstopper, because he's actually going the wrong way, and he's managed to then get a strong hand to it.
Yeah, and I think that reminds me of the Brett Long-esque sort of a save. Brett would often pull off one or two in a game that you think, like, top drawer. Now, again, it was the same with Jack on Saturday. He just said he's going one way, and he manages to get a strong arm out and, you know, tip around the post. So, he's conceded two. He didn't hit that much today, but he had a couple of decent saves in the game, to be fair, one.
And again, Conor O'Keefe down the left-hand side, it was getting a lot of space. And I think this maybe comes down to a confidence thing. Like the shot he had earlier on, he's maybe just snatched it a little bit. But he's going down that left-hand side, run virtually the length of the half. And he's gotten into that, into the box. And I think he's just delayed it slightly. He's maybe had too long to think about it in terms of, like, does he take a shot on? Does he cross it? And in the end, he didn't really do anything. And the defender got across to him. So, but it was good to see. That was where most of our good play was coming from, was down that left-hand side.
Yeah, I think that maybe comes down to confidence. I think if his confidence is up, he came early on 31 today. He looks in the box. He maybe didn't see too much in the way of personnel he could pass in. As you said, he sort of ran out of time by overthinking. He didn't come out to play the pass, take the shot, and in the end, didn't really do nothing.
And then the second time that they hit the bar was through our own player, David Wilson, almost getting an own goal. And I think that was being caused by too many crosses being coming in from either side, but particularly down Airdrie's right, our left. Too many crosses were coming in, and I think we marked on it during the game that Danny Strachan was being left 2-on-1 too often. So he was, for some reason, there was always two men running about him. I don't know if Conor O'Keefe wasn't coming tracking back enough, or when the midfielders were supposed to be coming across, but certainly that was an area that Airdrie found a lot of happiness through.
I think Airdrie also did their homework as well. They realised that Danny might, you know, be playing at left back, and not an actual left back by any means. And also the left hand side's it's a new team for us, but they're not quite gelled on that side either. So, you know, you're looking for that support and defensive unit. But you mentioned a number of crosses coming in. We didn't have Andy McDonald at centre back, we didn't have Jason Brown. So these are big imposing figures at centre back, and you just think Airdrie's done their homework, they've took advantage of it. They realise that these two wouldn't be playing, they realise that it's going to be, you know, somebody that another natural left back, at left back, and I think they've exploited it and used it to their advantage, to be fair.
And it's not to say that Donny didn't have a bad game or anything, but it's just that he was too exposed too often, and he just needed the help. I mean, I think we all know Donny's a Peterhead supporter, Peterhead man, so you chuck him in goals and he'd give 110%, so he's just wants to play. So again, it's not we were saying that he had a bad game, it's just I think he wasn't given enough support in that area.
Yeah, you know, Danny's a young man. He didn't get much last season, shall we say. And then he's obviously been put at left back for the opening game of the season. I think, as you said, he would play anywhere for the team, and you're just looking for things to gel and come together. And I think, you know, Danny's a good player. He'll play anywhere for us, but you're just looking for that support, you know, whoever's going to be playing the left side with him. if he's not an actual left back, you've got to help each other out and give a bit of support.
Opening goal then came in 34 minutes, Callum Smith. I guess it was a good individual goal, but it comes from maybe David Wilson missing his header right on the halfway line and going through. But then he still manages to I think, beat two or three defenders in the box as well. So from an Airy point of view, very good goal to get. From a Peter Hayden point of view, I wouldn't say a poor goal to lose, but there are elements in that to lead up to the goal that we could have done better.
Yeah, you've probably stole my sentence here. I think from Peter Hayden's point of view, I think there is more that we could have done to prevent it. You know, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I do think that there could have been a couple of things that we tried to prevent that goal happening. But as you rightly pointed out, from an Airdrie point of view, it's, you know, the perfect opening half for them. They've come out, they've taken a 2-0 lead, and they've, you know, they've done exactly what they were wanting.
There was word of a slight nick on the way through onto the goal, but I think if you look at it again, I think Jack Newman's going the opposite way anyway. I don't think he was going to be able to get it, so I don't think we could say too much on that, but again, it was probably a decent goal. And then 5 minutes later, we find ourselves 2-0 down, and again, a goal from a corner, something that we would mention a few times last season in terms of like set-piece goals, how much we're conceding. Greg Watson with the header, you mentioned that he didn't really have to do too much with it. David Wilson, again, will probably be hugely disappointed with his contribution to it.
Yeah, I think the frustration thing for me is that the lads needed to jump. It's been right on the money. Cracking corner, to be fair, but from your point of view, there's nearly a challenge on him. There's nobody there trying to muscle him off the ball. It's just a, you know, header, stand and start, bang, he's put it in the back of net. They fault, I think I put blame on the goalkeeper. I just think the defending for the ball line, I don't think anybody should be scoring a goal for a corner without having to jump for it, you know, if it's a header. I think that just sort of summed up the half. It was a little mistake and we've been caught out for it.
I think if Jason Brown was playing in that game, I think he certainly would have been picking up Craig Watson, and I think he would have made it that much more difficult for him, I think. And I think that's the difference to that game. You know, we're two centre-half, David Wilson and Paul Dixon. Nae blessed with the biggest in terms of height. So, again, that's where you're missing somebody like Jason Brown and even Andy McDonald as well with his height.
Yeah, the two of them like a tussle. You know, Jason's nae shy and, you know, mixing it up with some of the bigger lads in the division. So, yeah, he'd have relished that an opportunity to try and get his head on it and, you know, make a clearance, you know, defenders by the butter. But, yeah, disappointing that we conceded from a, you know, a non-standing position.
Early in the second half, Adeyemo had an opportunity to score again, coming from a run down that right-hand side where he's going through one-on-one. You're thinking, just hit the target. In that kind of situation there, just hit the target, and he fails to do that, and I think that kind of sums up where we're at the minute in terms of confidence. I mean, he's done everything right in terms of getting to the right position. Then when it comes to the key area, the key moment, he hasn't even hit the target.
Yeah, that was a disappointing thing. You know, I came that he hasn't played much football. That'll come in time with the match sharpness, but through one goal, I always think as long as you make the keeper make a save, you can't really do any more. And I can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the keeper the eyes and put it in the goalkeeper's left-hand side, but to nae hit the target for that area, well, that to me is really, really poor. He's a striker. He's got to hit the target.
There's an option there for him to square it as well. I know that probably wasn't in his head. It was until I watched the highlights later. Robbie Scullion's actually coming into the penalty spot. So again, it's about decision making. I think decision making was something we covered quite a bit last season as well. Because if he gets a goal there or he sets up Robbie for a tap in, that's 2-1, and suddenly we're back into the game again.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say, because he's a striker, his natural instinct when he's throwing goals probably to take a shot. You wouldn't see many strikers get in that position and look to square it. However, if his confidence isn't great, maybe a square ball for an assist, you know, would get him off and going. But go back to that. I think they hitting the target for that position is poor.
It's almost like the it was almost like a carbon copy of the goals that we scored last season against Alawa in the opening game. You know, the one where McLean picks up the ball, runs doing that right, side, yeah. Crosses in for Naya Payne, and then Naya Payne virtually does the same thing, and the roles are reversed. So I don't know if it was a case of there wasn't enough support for him, or he just had the blinkers on, the head was doing it, and just sort of ran and was wanting to score because he just wants to get that monkey off his back.
I think he's looking to, you know, get his first goal. It's probably been a tough pre-season and tough opening couple of games for him as well. He's a striker, he wants to score. I don't blame him for taking the shot. I just wish it was on target and make the keeper make a save. And he said it, even if it ricocheted off the keeper and fallen into somebody else's path, doesn't matter how they go in, you'd have taken it. But don't I blame him for taking the shot. I just wish it was on target.
And then Jordan, he's had an effort going wide, and Adeyemo had another one as well. Both of those efforts, or chances, I should say, are coming from us on the counter in terms of like winning the ball in midfield and going through and goal. I think both times we were 3-2. Ryan Dow heavily involved in both. So again, I think it just comes to a confidence thing, you know, whether or not it's just a case of they're rushing it, they just want to try and score, but neither of those efforts were on target.
Yeah, there's maybe an argument saying they're trying to rush it. They realise that the goals have dried up and they're maybe trying to force it a wee bit too much. I wouldn't be surprised if our first goal of the season comes for a set piece, something that you don't really have to think about too much. There's maybe, as that element, as you said, that they're overthinking it and they're trying to make it too complex, and it might just be a set piece or trying to get the first goal of the season.
So as I said, it did end 2-0. I think towards the end of the game, Airdrie might have been disappointed that they haven't made it 3, but again, we could probably credit that to Jack Newman in goal. So you're leaving there again disappointed. One or two folk that we spoke to after said, well, there is something there, we're just waiting for other the players to come back. On the other side, some folk are saying, well, that's as good as it gets, then we are going to struggle. It is early days. We've still got the rest of the transfer window to go through, but at this kind of stage, we are going to struggle if that's the kind of best of our performances, if you like.
Yeah, I agree. That is the best that we're able to conjure up. I think we are going to be in for a long season. It's not often that all the, you know, a lot of the pundits and the bookmakers are wrong. They have us, you know, favourites for relegation in that 10th spot. And it's difficult to argue against it. There's nothing that I could say at this moment in time. Well, no, we're showing signs of that we're going to get out of it. I don't think there's been that much improvement by the Dumbarton game to Airdrie. And I use the Dumbarton game because they were in our division last season. They point compared against Aberdeen and Wraith. So I know the window's nae finished, and Jim will still be looking to do a bit of business. But as I said at the start of the programme, I think the recruitment this season, based on what we've seen at the moment, is lacking a wee bit.
Nothing's been official yet, but I'm guessing that Paul Dixon is going to be the club captain for this season. I guess based on, you know, his experience, we've made no secret that I think Jason Brown should have been given that opportunity. But we mentioned it earlier on in terms of the Pete speaking on the park. That was virtually non-existent until Ryan Strachan came on, and he was the one that was trying to get people talking, trying to get people involved. And as you said earlier on, you know, you're missing Simon Ferry constantly talking when he was on the park. Scott Brown doing his talking in terms of his footballing ability. Andy McCarthy, yes, okay, he's still with us, but he's out injured, and he probably would be the one who would maybe not do talking as such, but would be the one who would get stuck in and try and get the boys going. And Jason is another one who's a big talker. So you're lacking that somebody on the park to be a leader. And if your captain, as I said, is going to be Paul Dixon, he was virtually really one of the quieter ones there as well. And I think the likes of David Wilson next to him and Danny Strachan playing in a position he's not suited to, or not suited to in terms of being there on a regular basis and still virtually young, he should be talking to him constantly, helping him through the game. And I, we just didn't see that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start off by saying that I don't think Paul Dixon for me is the captain. Or if he is, he, in my opinion, he shouldn't be. I think he's got the experience, but for me, we've had so much upheaval in the club in the last 3 months that I think you're looking for somebody that canes the club. And for me, that is Jason Brown. So to me, he should be the captain. Paul's too quiet, or on the evidence of it we've seen on Saturday, too quiet. You're wanting your captain to be more vocal. That doesn't mean by shouting and screaming. But we didn't see much in the way of instruction. That's not to say that he's not doing it, but, you know, just for what we've seen. You know, as you said, Danny Strachan's playing at left back, but Davey inside. Young players, they need help through. And I think Jason's got a good understanding of the game now. I think he's matured in the last 18 months. I think we've said that a few times last season. And he also got the captaincy a couple of times when Scott and Simon didn't play last season. So Jim also think there's a captain there. I'm surprised that I get it's somebody that's new that's come into the club that's gotten the captaincy. I'm not sure whether I like that at any club, even you know, team that I support or not. And I'm not a lover, really, to be honest, of a new player coming in becoming the captain. But if Paul's going to be a captain, you know, he'll get the support of the players, I'm sure of it. But I would just like to see somebody more vocal, even if it was Ryan Strachan. You want to see that vocal player and somebody to help you along. I think, you know, captains generally tend to do that.
So we move on to this Saturday then. Clyde away is a place where traditionally we've done well in the last few seasons. I think we've only lost one in the last 10 down there. But given their result last week, and our result as well, and in terms of where we're, the two clubs are at, do you have any optimism at all going into this game?
It's a six-pointer. There we go. Second game of the season, it's a six-pointer. Yeah, I was speaking to somebody at work today, and you know, I said to them what I said to you 10 minutes ago, that it was a mini-division with us three at the bottom, in Clyde, Edinburgh, and us. And, you know, he said, well, if that's the teams that we're up against, based on what we've seen on Saturday, we've to quote, no chance. So he's got no optimism either. But it maybe just sums up the general feeling, to be honest. Now, Clyde, there's a better rivalry there over the last couple of seasons. One of Jim's best team performance came down at Clyde, backs against the wall. I fancy to be so. I think it'll be a draw. I'll sit in the fence and say, but I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. I think we'll well score. Like I said, I think it'll be a set piece. But there's just something about games against Clyde. It would just seem to raise that levels a little bit more. And I think we'll get something.
Last season, the two games doing there, it was a 2-2 where we were 2-0 up and probably should have saw that game out and they come back to 2-2. And then we're going down there towards the end of the season in April and we've beaten 3-0. 3-0 was a game which we was our performance of the season. Hamish Ritchie got the goal of the season doing there as well. So we're comfortable playing there. I just think it, things obviously get to be slightly different, and the fact that they're now moving to Hamilton to play their games, they're away from Broadwood. That'll be the first league game there. It's all set up for them to have a good day, so we could go there and potentially spoil it for them.
But we know football isn't quite set out like that. And we can upsets can happen. Whether you class it as an upset, I don't know. But I generally think we'll get something for the game. As I said, when we're backs against the wall, sometimes that's when we put up our best performances. Okay, it's a new team, but you know, we went us many games last season, they went in and then we pulled out of the bag with 6 in a row undefeated and 4 wins or something like that. So I think you know, as I said, it's one of Jim's better places to go. He's a good performance, has good results. And I think we'll get something for the game on Saturday.
Clyde have recruited well, I think, and they've recruited really early as well, early on in the summer. I think the majority of their business was done quite early in June. So they obviously had a plan. They knew what they were going to be doing. And then they've got a fantastic result last week, 4-1 against Queen of the South, at Queen of the South as well, at Palmerston. So a team that a lot of people would reckon would be up there in terms of challenge them for the title, if not a playoff place.
Yeah, that's why I said earlier on, I think the division's a lot stronger. And, you know, normally when a team comes up to the division below, you tip them to go back down. I think, okay, Kelly didn't get a win on Saturday, but I think that's got to be the case. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be, you know, strongly in mid-table. But, you know, as you said, it's our setup for Clyde to have a good day. They've got a win last week. They've then got home game coming up. It's a new venue. They've recruited well. I just think we can go down and be the party poopers.
Well, let's hope we can be the party poopers, because, you know, 0 points after the first two games and falling, what, 6 points behind a team that we think we should be competing round about, even at this early stage, is going to be a big ask. And if you think that the reaction on social media was fairly mixed after the game on Saturday, I dread to think what it might be like after a defeat to Clyde.
I was going to say to you, I just wonder at what point does, you know, because with every passing game that you do not win, the pressure mounts on, you know, the board, on the manager, on the players. And there was a little bit of, you know, unrest on the Wednesday night against Raith, and then the Dumbarton and Stirling game sort of flew under the radar slightly. But the social media comments in the last couple of days have just been getting that a little bit more. And, you know, folk will say you only ever hear the minority. And yeah, that is part and parcel. You'll only hear the negative stuff, and I respect people's opinion that are for it, but based on what we're seeing, you know, I think we're in for a long season. But this is not new to Jim. He was under pressure this time last season. Mm-hmm. You know, we went early on in the season and we got beat by East Fife, and you know, there was a lot of pressure on him then, so it's not the first time he's come back for being under pressure before, but I just feel it's a different sort of pressure. I think just, you know, you just get a general feeling in the club. You know, you go by the supporter reaction on Saturday at full time. It's not to say that folk didn't care, but when folk were leaving, it was almost like that's another defeat. And for that sort of apathy sets in, it's difficult for a team and a coach and staff to combat it, to be honest.
Okay, on that note then, we will end it there. That is the first one of the new campaign in the bag. Lots to cover and lots to discuss. Hopefully we've gone through the majority of it. My thanks to Martin for joining me, and as always, thank you to you guys for listening. Do hope you've enjoyed it as always. We'll be back again next week, so do join us then. On behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.